Okay, we're going to have a special nighttime edition of the Daf Yomi Shir tonight. This is for tomorrow's Daf, of course, Erev Rosh Hashanah, the long Slicha. So we're going to learn Daf Tzadi Dalet, Chulin Daf Tzadi Dalet, the Daf for Erev Rosh Hashanah. We'll learn about Hashem Yisbarach tonight. So we're holding, we left off this morning at Daf Tzadi Gimelam Beis. We're at the two dots before the Mishnah, not at the Mishnah. Two dots about 10 lines before the lines get wide. So Eina Tabach Ne'amanim. The Mishnah, at the very beginning of the parak, had told us at the end of the Mishnah that the Tabachim, the butchers, are not Ne'aman about Gira Nasha. Remeir Hill, they're not Ne'aman about Gira Nasha. The Chamer Hill, they are Ne'aman about Gira Nasha and Chelev. So Machlokas Remeir and the Chachamim, can you trust the Tabach, can you trust the butcher that he got rid of all of the, that he got rid of the Gira Nasha for you? So Amar Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Chazru Lomar Ne'amanim. That originally, Rameir said ein ne'amanim, but then they changed their mind and they started to pass it instead ne'amanim, that people are believed. So Amar Rav Nachman, Achshar Dari. Rav Nachman said, what? The generations got better. It used to be that you had people that weren't ne'aman, and then it actually, the situation improved and people became ne'aman. That's generally not in concert with the way things normally work, which is Yiridas Hadoros. What happens to Yiridas Hadoros? So Me'ikaradavu Savri La Karabi Meir Lo Havi Mehemni Ulubso Savri Karabi Yehuda. No, says the Gemara, it depends what you needed to get out. Originally, they held like Rav Meir that you need chatita, that you need to dig in and take out all of the little veins that are attached to it, and that's a big tircha, so they're not neman to go through such a big tircha. But then they decided to paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, that you only need to cut a very little bit at the surface, and you don't need to dig in to get everything out, so that's why they were able to be neman, not because the butchers became more trustworthy, but we made their job easier in terms of getting rid of the gira nasha. So once we made their jobs easier, they became Naaman. Ika de Masnila Asefa. However, some have this statement, this whole back and forth, said in conjunction with the Seifa, not with Shitas Reb Meir, that the Tabach is not believed, but in the context of the Shita of the Chachamim, that the Tabach is believed. That the Chachamim Naamanim Alava Al Chelev, the Chachamim say the Tabach is believed about the Gira Nasha and about the Chelev. Amr Reb Chibar Abba, Amr Reb Yochanan, Chazru Lomarei Naamanim. So Reb Chibar Abba says the name Reb Yochanan. No, they then changed their mind and they said, we're not going to trust the Tabach anymore. Amr Rav Nachman, then Rav Nachman came along, there's a third step added in. We didn't just go from being believed to not being believed. A third step is manazeh ne'amanim, that nowadays they're believed again. So Frekta Gemara again, same kasha. Achshar Dari, what, you're going to tell me the generations got better, that from the time of Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba and Rabbi Yochanan, they said ein ne'amanim, that was the middle stage. And then Rav Nachman came along, later generation, and bismanazeh, all of the sudden they're ne'aman, the tabachim became more honest, the butchers became more honest, doesn't seem very likely. So answers the Gemara, no, me'ikaras of Rabbi Yehuda. Originally, they held like Rabbi Yehuda, that it was a very easy thing to remove, and therefore they trusted the tabachim. Hadas of Rukh Reb Meir. Then they changed the psak to hold like Reb Meir that it's much more difficult to remove everything that needs to be removed, and that's why the tabachim were not able to be believed. Kama David Kirila looked Rabbi Yehuda lo mehemni. So long as they remembered Rabbi Yehuda's Shita, and as Rashi says, Ugriri Basrei, and they followed after it, Amru Ein Ne'amanim, they said we shouldn't believe them, Mishum Desvir Lank Rabbi Meir, because we held like Rabbi Meir. But Bizman Azeh, V'hashtadan Shiyulad Rabbi Yehuda, but nowadays, that we have forgotten already Rabbi Yehuda's position, Mehemni, therefore, they're going to be believed. So that's why we believe them, Bizman Hazeh. Right, that's what Rashi says, Bizman Hazeh, once they forgot Rabbi Yehuda's Shita, and it's actually Huchsa Kaminok, people actually follow Rabbi Meir's Shita, and they do the full Chatita and the digging and everything out. So that's why they're believed again. It was only in that in between stage when people were still remembering, oh, but there's a Kula, you don't have to dig everything out. So even though we paskin like Rabbi Meir, people are still doing like Rabbi Yehuda because they remembered in the good old days when they used to do like Rabbi Yehuda. So that's why we have to be Machmir, because people weren't getting enough out. But now that Shitas Rabbi Yehuda is kimat forgotten, so we paskin like Rav Meir, and everyone does like Rav Meir, so that's why people are going to be Ne'aman. And then the Mishnah's last line was that the Chacham say that not only are the Tabachim Ne'aman on the Gira Nasha, they're also Ne'aman on Chelev. So frankly, Gemara, Chelev, Mandekar Shemei. Who's talking about Chelev? How did Chelev sneak into the Mishnah? So Achi Kamar, now this is what it means to say. Ein Ne'amanim Alav Ve'ala Chelev, that even within the Shita of Rabbi Meir, Tanakama, it's Chelev was already under discussion, that Remeir held not only the Tabach not Naman about Kedan Asha, he held the not Naman about Chelev either. Yes, they are. They're believed about both Gid and Chelev. So Chelev was already in the first part of the Mishnah, in the Shita of Rabbi Meir. Okay, new Mishnah, bottom of Tzadi Gimel and Beis. Shaleach Adam Yerech Laovid Kuchavim, Shegid Hanasha Besocha, Mipnesha Mekoma Nikar. A person is allowed to send a thigh of an animal to an Ovid Kuchavim, even though the Gid Hanasha is in it, has not been removed, because Mekoma Nikar, the place where the Gid is recognizable. Says Rashi, Vein Choshishin Shema Yachzor Vim Karen Eli Yisrael V'yochlena Begida. We don't have to worry that maybe the guy is going to turn around and sell it to a Jew with the Gid. Dekivan Deshlemehi Mekoma Shal Gid Hanasha Hayanikarim Nechtat Himena. Since it's a complete thigh, it would be clearly recognizable that it was sliced open to remove the Gid, if the Gid in fact was removed. V'alokeach Mevin Shalonital. So any purchaser, any potential buyer will recognize that the Gid was never taken. And therefore he will take it out himself. The Gemara is going to ask Stam anyway, how can a Jew buy meat from an Ovid Kochavim? What are we talking about? A Jew's going to go and buy unmarked meat from a guy. How could he trust anything in buying meat from a guy? So that we're going to deal with in the Gemara. But in terms of Gid Hanasha, at least in terms of Dinim Gid Hanasha, when you're dealing with a Yerech Shalim, when you're dealing with a complete thigh of an animal, we don't have to worry that there's going to be any problem if you give it to a guy with the Gid Hanasha still intact, because a Jew will recognize that the Gid Hanasha is still there. Now there is a Gemara Maseches Pesachim. There is a Gemara Maseches Pesachim Daf Chaf Beis Amud Aleph that's medayik from the Mishnah that a Gid Hanasha is mutter bahana'a. Because if a Gid Hanasha was asr bahana'a, it would be asr to send to a guy, meaning the yerech, the thigh of the animal, looks a lot better when the Gid Hanasha is inside of it than it does when the Gid Hanasha is not inside of it. So it's going to turn out that the guy is going to have a karsa tov to you because of that Gid. So if he's going to have a karsa tov to you because of that Gid, it turns out you're getting hana'a from the Gid being there. So the Gemara says, oh, don't you see that a Gid Hanasha is mutter bahana'a? We allow you to give it to a guy even though he's going to be machzik tova to you. And the Gemara's maskan over there is that the Yisra Hanah of a Gid is a machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, whether it exists. And our Mishnah assumes, like Rabbi Yehuda, that Gid Hanasha is mutter bahana'a, but Rabbi Shimon disagrees and holds that a Gid Hanasha is asr bahana'a. Now, in terms of halacha, machlokas Rishonim. The Rambam in Machlokas Asuras Perches Halacha Yudalid writes that the Gid Hanasha is mutter bahana'a. It happens to be the Taz doesn't read the Rambam that way. The Taz in Yerodeh Asim and Samach Dal Sifkan Aleph says that the Das HaRambam is that the Gid Hanasha is Asr Bahana'a, but all the Acharim say that they don't know what he's talking about, because it's Mefurish in the Rambam that we just mentioned, Machal Sifkan Aleph Yudalid, that it's Asr Bahana'a. So that's what all the Acharim ask, the Knesset Gedola, etc. They all ask on the Taz. They don't know what he is to the Prima Gadim. They don't know what he's talking about. The Rambam is very clear that the Gid Hanasha is Mutar Bahana'a, and the Rishonim explain, because the Halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda when it's Machlokas Rabbi Derbi Shimon, we pass like Rabbi Yehuda, and especially since we have a Stam Mishnah in our sugya that goes exactly like Rabbi Yehuda, so of course we're going to paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. Now the Chachmei Luniel, which are quoted by the Rush in Simon Yud Zayin, ask on the Rambam that it seems to be against the Gemara Pesachim, because the Gemara Pesachim implies that the Machlokas is talui, whether the Gid Hanasha Zas Bana is talui on the Machlokas of Yesh Begidim Menel Saint Tam or not. So the Gemara quotes the sheet of Rabbi Avo that anytime it says in the Torah Lo Yochlu, it includes an Isra Na, except for the Isra Achil of Nevela, where the Torah Bedafka says Lekelov Tashlichano, so that you're or Legerash Abishrachet Enu, that you're allowed to get Hana from it. So the Gemara asks from our Mishnah that it sounds like Gid is Mutar Bana, even though it says Lo Yochlu Bnei Yisrael. So I thought Rabbi Avo says anytime it says Lo Yochlu, it's automatically a Isr Hana. And for the Gemara in Pesachim Chav Beis, that when the Torah is Matir Nevela Bahana, it's also Matir Gid Bahana, because the Torah, because when Nevela became Hutar, the Nevela, its Basar, and its Gid all became Hutar Bahana. But the Maskan of the Gemara over there is that Teretz only works if you say Yesh Begidin Bino Sein Tam, because then you could say that the Gid has the same status of Basar Bialma, and therefore it's Shaykh to say that when the Nevelus Hutra, the Gita Sutra also, and that's why it's Mutar Bana. But if Ein Begida Minosin Tam, the Gita is Eitz Bialma. So you can't learn out from the fact that Nevela became Hutar Bana that the Gita also is Hutar Bana, the Gita would still remain Aser. So according to Rabbi Shimon, Ein Begida Minosin Tam, we should Aser Gita Hanasha Bana. So Frek the Chachmil and Nil on the Rambam, it's Geshmak, that since the Allah is like Rabbi Shimon that Ein Begida Minosin Tam, so how could it be we should Aser Gita Hanasha Bana? How could the Rambam Paskin that Gita Hanasha is Mutar Bahana'a? So the Rush answers, but that whole discussion is based on a premise of Rabbi Avo is correct, that anytime the Torah says Lo Yochlu, it means an Isra Hana'a is included. So says the Rush, the Rambam didn't Paskin like Rabbi Avo, he Paskin like Chizkia, that an Isra Achila only Kolel in Isra Achila, is not Kolel in Isra Hana'a. When it says Lo Yochlu, it means don't eat it. Doesn't mean don't get Hana'a from it. However, that's a little bit difficult because the Rambam also paskins like Rabbi Avo Beferish in Halacha Tazvav over there, that whenever it says Losocha, Losocha, Loyochel, Loyochel, it includes both Nisra Achila and Nisra Na until the Torah tells you otherwise, like it does by Nevela. So the Rambam is Beferish like Rabbi Avo. So that's a little bit shver, very difficult to understand the Rush's Yishuv for the Rambam. Okay, that was a little fast, but hopefully you got. So So the Rambam paskins that a Gita Hanasha is Mutar Bana. The Rush quotes from Chachmel Nil Rabbi Yonah paskin that Gita Hanasha is Asur Bana. Beis Yosef says the Ikar Halacha is like the Rambam that Gita Hanasha is Mutar Bana. But Midivrei Zohar, it appears that it's Asur Bana, and because the Zohar says it's Asur Bana, it's Tov Lahachmir, says the Beis Yosef. We should be Machmir for the sheet of the Zohar. Now, the Rishonim also of Machlokas, if it's Mutter for a Jew to tell a Goy to do something that's Asur for a Jew to do, but Mutter for a Goy to do. In general, Machlokas and Kol HaTorah Kula, there is a Machlokas Rishonim. If I am not allowed to do something, but a Goy is allowed to do it, can I have the Goy do it? Can I ask the Goy to do it? So the Gemara Masechta Bamitzia on Daf Tzadi Amud Aleph tells us that it's usher for a Jew to tell a guy, Chasom Parasi V'doshba, I want you to muzzle my cow and thresh with it, which is Nesu Daraisa for a Jew to do. So why is that usher to ask a guy to do? So some Rishonim explains, Machlokes Rishonim, some Rishonim explain, Rashi and Tosfos over there both explain that we're speaking about a case where the Yisrael is going to benefit from that Chasima. So it's usher because he's getting Hana'a from the Isra of a guy. But if you were not getting any Hana'a, he just wants to ask a guy to do something that for a Jew would have been an Avera, without any Hana'a, then it would be no problem for him to ask the guy. But says Tosfos and the Rash, that in their Maskana, the way they conclude, that any time the Etzem HaMaisa is Aser, you should not ask a guy to do that Maisa, even if you're not going to get any benefit, any Hana'a out of it. Dafka to give a guy a nevela to eat is mutter, because the Yisrael himself is allowed to be machnesit to the mouth of the guy. But anything that, right, because the Torah says that you're allowed to give it to the guy, that you're allowed to give a nevela to a guy, that's what you should do. So dafka, something that the Torah says that a Jew is allowed to do, he can give a guy and tell a guy to do. But something that Yisrael himself is not allowed to do, like to be chosei mapara, it's also to tell a guy to do, even if the Jew is not going to get any benefit out of it. So that's Machlokas Rishonim. Says the Hagos Mordechai, over there, Maseches Bamitzia, it says in our Mishnah that you're allowed to send a Yerech with a Gid Hanasha in it to a guy. Aye, how can you have the guy eat the Gid Hanasha? It's usher for a guy to, if you hold like the Rush, that it's usher for a Jew to ask a guy to do something that's usher for the Jew himself to do. So even though the Jew's not benefiting from it and the guy's not doing it for the Jew or anything like that, so how come it's mutter in our Mishnah to send him the Gid Hanasha? So the Magen Avraham asks, what are you talking about? Frek the Magen Avraham in Simon Shin Zayin, Sivkon Chavtes, that the Kasha's Eina Muvenes. The Kasha doesn't make any sense. We already said before that there's no Isser unless the Isser is only when a Jew's going to get hana from it. So the Magen Avraham is metarets that the Gosa Mordechai holds that since the Yisrael gives him to eat, that's considered hana, because since he gave it to Malkarchach, it's nichlo sheyochal. He benefits out of the fact that he's eating it. Okay, but that's how our Mishnah connects to this general Shas discussion. Now says the Gemara, Shlema in chatu chalo. What are you allowed to give to a guy? A complete yerech with a giranasha in it. But if it's already cut up, you're not allowed to give it to a guy. So Mayaskinon, what exactly is the case? Meaning, we assume that there are two types of communities. There's some communities where there are machriz, that all the tabachim of the entire city are all Jews, and whenever they have a trefa, whenever they have a non-kosher animal that they have to deal with, there are some communities where they announce it so that the whole world can know about it, and there are other communities where ein machrizin, they don't say that there was a trefa that came about. So frekta gemara, what kind of community are we talking about? If we're talking about a case where they aren't machriz that we better sell this to a guy because there's a trefa that came about over here, well then chatuchanami lishterle, you should be allowed to sell. You should be allowed to sell even a cut up gid, a cut up yerech, because no Jew in their right mind would ever buy an animal from a guy, because if they aren't machris trefus, then the guy could be owning any kind of animal, could be nevelis and trefus, and you would never know about it. So forget about gid, no one would ever buy an animal from a guy anyway. So what do we want to say? It must be in the case where they announce any problematic animal. Nothing was announced, and this thigh is being given to a guy with a gid anasha in it. A Jew might come to buy it, and that's why we say you can only give him a shlema, you can't give him a chatucha. You shouldn't be allowed to send a shlema to a guy either, because you may send a shlema to a guy, then you know what the guy's going to do? He's going to cut it open and he's going to sell it. So says Gemara, Ibai Yisei Makom Shem Machrizin, Ibai Yisei Makom Shein Machrizin. You could say we're talking about a case where they are Machriz, you could say we're talking about a case where they're not Machriz, and the kashas will fall away. Ibai Yisei Makom Shem Machrizin, you could say we're talking about a case where they are Machriz, and what did we say is going to be the problem? That the guy himself is going to cut it open, and he's going to sell it that way. Chitucha David Chav Medei Yadia. A guy cuts it in a certain way that everyone will realize it was cut by a guy. People will have knowledge, they'll look at it, they'll take one look at it, they'll realize that it was cut up by the guy, it wasn't cut up by a Jew. So we don't have to worry that the guy is going to cut it up. Or we could be talking about a case where they aren't machriz. What did we say? If they're not machriz, then no one's going to buy anything from the guy anyway. Because there might be treifas or whatever. So why should it be usher to give it to, why should it be usher to give it to him even if it's chatucha? Answers the Gemara, Gzeira Shema Yitnena Lo Bifnei Yisrael Acher. Because we're afraid if you give it to him, even chatucha, if you give it to him as a chatucha, another Jew might see you giving it to him and assume wrongly that you're giving him something that's kosher, and the other Jew will come and buy it from the guy. The other possibility is, it could be a problem of Gneva's Das of the guy, that if you give it to him, chatucha, that the reason that you're not allowed to send chatucha is because it's grevus das of the old kachavim, because he's going to say, oh, this Jew loves me so much that he went out of his way to take the gira nasha to make this piece of meat even kosher for him, so he's giving me perfectly kosher meat, and then he's giving it to me, and the truth is that you didn't really take the gira nasha out, so you didn't do anything, you didn't give him such a wonderful piece of meat that you could have eaten, because there was a gira nasha in it. So that's grevus das of the guy. Amar Shmuel. Now here we get into the whole sugya of Gnevus Das. Asur lignov das abrios afilu daito shalavik chavim. You're not allowed to be gonev das of another human being, even a guy. It's asur to be gonev das. In a certain way, the isur of Gnevus Das is actually more severe than the isur of stealing money, because we say that you're not allowed to be gonev das. If you assume, like the Ritva over here, and the Ritva on the Daf over here, that Gnevus Das is an Isser de Oraisa, so Gnevus Mamon of a guy may only be an Isser de Rabbanon. Gnevus Das of a guy may be an Isser de Oraisa. So on that level, the Isser of Gnevus Das may be even worse than the Isser of Gnevus Mamon. Could be Gnevus Mamon is an Isser Ben Adam Lechavero. Gnevus Das is both Ben Adam Lechavero and Ben Adam Leatzmo, because you're training yourself to be a deceitful person. Okay, so anyway, Vahad Shmuel Lav Befer. The Gemara says you should know that Gneivas Das is I'm sorry, the idea that Shmuel says that Gneivas Das is usher by a guy, Shmuel never said it explicitly. We only derived it from a Maisa Shahaya with Shmuel. What was the Maisa Shahaya? Did Shmuel have a car of a Bimavro? Shmuel was traveling on a boat, on a ferry, Amrle Lishame. So he said to his Shamish, Paisei Lemavure, please appease the ferry driver, meaning pay him. He told the Shamish, pay the ferry driver. Paisei, so the Shamish paid the ferry driver. V'ikbid, all of a sudden Shmuel's getting all upset. What are you getting upset at me? My time, Ikbid. Why are you getting upset? You told me to pay him, I paid him. Amar Abaye. So Abaye says, no, you know why he's getting upset? Tarnugol is trefa havai, v'yava na'ale b'mar d'shchuta. That it was, he paid him with a trefa chicken, and he gave it to him in place of a kosher chicken, giving the ferry driver the impression that he was giving up a kosher chicken, that he was giving up something that he could have used himself, and in fact it was really a trefa chicken. It was something that the ferry driver obviously was a guy, but in fact it was a trefa chicken that that Shmuel and Hashamish themselves could not have used, and that's why Shmuel got upset. He was gonev his das. Rava Amar, Rava says he was gonev das in a different way. Anpika Amar Lashkuye, he told him to give him a certain type of jug that normally stores undiluted wine, and instead he gave him a diluted wine in that same type of jug, so he was gonev his das. So Frekta Gemara, okay, but either way you see that Shmuel holds that gonev his das of a guy is usher, that's why he got upset. So v'chi mechlal amai, who cares that Shmuel didn't say it explicitly? Shmuel obviously meant it. So says Gemara, l'mandi amar treifa havai amalei amai tishe isura. No, because maybe Shmuel didn't get upset about gonev his das. Maybe if you hold that what happened was the ferry driver gave a tray for chicken, maybe Shmuel was just upset. What are you holding on to tray for chickens? Why do you have a tray for chicken in your suitcase, in your backpack when we're traveling? What do you have such yisurim around the house for? It's an avla to keep such a thing around the house. So the man diyamar anpika amar leilashkuye, and according to the opinion that he gave him the wrong kind of drink, Shmuel just got upset because he didn't follow his instructions. I told you to give him undiluted wine. You gave him diluted wine. He wasn't upset about the Gnev Stas. He was upset about his own kavod, that his Talmud didn't listen to him. Now, it's interesting. Tosfos points out, Trefa havav yavin alei b'mar d'shchuta, that the problem was, according to the one opinion, that he gave him a trefa instead of a shchuta. Fraktos v'im tomer, li'ol ha'meim alach t'mutu l'gnav d'ayto sh'lo v'kchavim, v'ik v'im shum tomer lo lo v'kchavim shchuta hi, v'ikal l'mitzv shem y'ilain lo b'fnei sh'lo v'iklam y'menu. Shouldn't we... How does this prove that Shmuel was worried about the Gnevis Das of the guy? Maybe he was worried that a Jew would see this Shamash of Shmuel giving the tray for chicken to the guy. The Jew would wrongly assume, the Shamash of Shmuel has it must be a kosher chicken, and the Jew will buy it from a guy and assume it's a kosher chicken. Maybe that's the concern. And for Tosos, Yeshlom de Mikol Makom Mikol Medik Mina Dasa Lignav Daito, still you could be Medaik that it's also to be gone of Dasa Vagai, Ti Ishari Lekal Mecha Shem Yikon Menu Yisrael, Di Yechish Lignav Daito Shal Vichavim Omer Kain. Because if it was Mutter to be gone of Dasa Vagai, then no one would come to buy the chicken from the guy, because anyone who would potentially think about buying the chicken from the guy will automatically say to himself, maybe the Hashamish was giving the guy a tray for chicken, he was just telling him it was a kosher chicken to be gone of his das, because it's Taka Mutter to be gone of das. So the concern only exists if it's already usher to be gonev das of the guy. That's why it's a good deal. A very sharp word by Tosfos. Okay, Tanya. Don't keep on insisting that someone should eat at your house, to keep on inviting them when you know that they're not going to be able to come. Meaning you haven't invited somebody, you feel like you owe them an invitation, you heard they're going away for Shabbos, so you keep on inviting them for that Shabbos. Because you know that they're going away for Shabbos, they're going to say, oh, we appreciate the invitation so much, thank you so much, but we're going to be away, and you'll be Yotzei your chiyuv of inviting them, but that's going to be his task, because you never have any intention to have them over. You shouldn't reach out to somebody and try to become a karov to them if you know that they're not going to be receptive to it. You should not open up the barrels they used to have were magufos, were sealed tightly, so when an adam chashav would come, you'd open up a barrel to give him fresh wine, fresh strong wine. So if you sold a chavis to a chenveni as whole, and it's, you still have it, you shouldn't open it up for an oreach, for a guest that comes, because you giving the oreach the impression that you're opening up in his honor, and the truth is you just need to open it up anyway because you're giving it to a chenveni. So that would be gnevis das. Don't tell somebody to go anoint themselves with oil from an empty pach, because obviously you know that he's not going to be. You happen to know that he's going to turn down your invitation, but you actually were never offering him any oil because he didn't have any oil to offer him. So that's gnevis das. But very important, there are going to be several exceptions to Geneva's Das on this daf. Here's the first one: the imbishvil kvodo mutter. If it's a way of just stam showing kavod to say such things, then it's mutter. That's the normal way that you show kavod to a person by saying something like that. So then it's going to be then it's just proper etiquette. Then it's going to be mutter to be going to das in that way. That might explain the Gemara in Erev and Daf Kuf and Beis. The Gemara says that even if we would never have received the Torah, we would have been able to derive a lot of positive midos by observing the behavior of the animal kingdom. For instance, the Gemara says we would learn derech eretz from a chicken because the rooster is very careful to appease the chicken before mating. Before mating, the rooster motions to the chicken as if to say that he'll buy her a long coat, and after mating, he motions to suggest that he'd be happy to buy the coat if he only had the money. So on the surface, the Gemara is very perplexing. What kind of midos is that? That's Pasha Geneva's Das. He's going and he's telling her things that sweet nothings that aren't really true. He knows in advance he's not going to be able to buy the chicken a coat. And he makes an offer and he knows he's not going to be able to fulfill. So it could be, though, based on this line of the Gemara, that anything that's the kvodo, it's okay. So we can suggest that the chicken is very well aware of the fact that she's not going to receive the coat, but just that's the way you speak. That's the way the rooster is supposed to speak to the chicken. That you're supposed to speak in a nice kind of way, even if you know very well you're not going to be able to afford all the things that you would love to be able to get the chicken, but you should always speak in that kind of way, that if only you could do it. But maybe Yavin, that's the way a rooster is supposed to speak to a chicken. So says the Gemara, Eini va'ula ikla lebe Rav Yudah pasuk lo chavias mokros chenveni. Wait a second, you said you're not allowed to open up barrels that were already sold to chenveni, because it's going to give the person the impression that you're being mechabed him, but Ula did it. And so the Gemara, Odue Ode, no, he informed his guest that he wasn't opening up Dafka in his honor. Or it could just be that Ula and Rav Yehuda had such a close relationship that Itaka would have opened it up in his honor. It wasn't only because he had sold it to the Chenveni, he really held him to be such an Adam Chashuv. That a person is not supposed to sell. A person shouldn't go to a base avel holding half-empty jugs, and he shouldn't fill it up with water because it's going to fool the people in the base avel to think that you're bringing them something that you're not bringing them. Marshall explains that they would have so much stuff in the base avel, most of the stuff that would come in you would just bring back home, you would take back out. Maybe a makar for against the minhag that people think that nothing could leave a base avel. So you're allowed to give him something in the base. You're not allowed to bring something to the base avel that you're going to take out later. Because it's going to give the impression of Gnevis Das, that you're bringing something that you're not really giving. Because you can take it out half empty, everyone's going to say, oh, you must have given half the barrel to the Beis Avel. They don't know you brought it in half empty. But if there's a chavarir there, meaning if there's a chabura of the city that's there, there's a rabbin that's there, and that's a good way to show kavod to the Avel, so then it's going to be a mutter. Tana Rabban, next price. Leim kradim lechaver a sandal shel mesa bechlal shel chaya shchuta mipnei beis dvarim. You're not allowed to sell a shoe that was made from an animal that died, the diseased animal that died, claiming that the shoe was made from leather of a regular shechted animal for two reasons. Echad mipnei shamateh. One, it's because you're fooling the person in Kneves Das. The echad mipnei hasakana. It's also dangerous to have a shoe made out of a dead animal. That's what some of the achronim explain why people have. A minug not to give away the shoes of a dead person. That the shoes are going to be that they don't because the concern is that maybe the shoe was made from an animal that died of some disease, and that's what gave the person who died that disease, and that's why it's dangerous, because it's sakana. So nowadays, if you happen to know what the person who died of, let's say he was hit by a truck or something, you know it wasn't from a disease he got from an animal, so there would be no problem to give the shoes of a dead person away. You shouldn't send to your friend a barrel full of wine with oil at the mouth of the barrel. And there was a story once where a person sent a barrel of wine with a little bit of oil at the mouth of the barrel, and he invited guests, assuming that it was going to be a barrel of oil, and then he saw that it was wine and he had nothing to serve his guests because it was supposed to be oil, and he immediately choked himself to death. He hung himself. It's a terrible story. Also, guests are not allowed to take from that which was given to them by the Balabais and give it to the children of the Balabais. Rishonim point out it means even to the children of the Baal HaBayis, Kol Shekein to other people, unless you first get Rishus from the Baal HaBayis. And another horrendous story. There was a man who invited three guests during years of famine, and all he had was three eggs to give to the three guests. The son of the Baal HaBayis took one of them. So they then took from another one and they gave it to him, to the son. They kept on every guest who received an egg, gave it to the child. The father of the son comes and he knows all he's got to give his guests is three eggs, and he sees the child with two eggs in his hand and one in his mouth, and he says, "What are you doing?" So he smacked his kid and he accidentally killed him. And once the mama saw that the child was dead, she went up and jumped off the roof. She was so distraught and she died also. She committed suicide. And once the husband saw that the child is dead and his wife committed suicide, he also went up to the roof and committed suicide, all because someone decided to give the child of the host something without asking permission. So that's the story is there to drive home the point that you're not supposed to do this. So Blazer Yaakov says, wow, because of this, three Jewish lives were lost. What's the Kiddush? Of course, we can count in the story. There's the child, the mother, the father. What's Rabbi Blazer Yaakov teaching us? Teaching us that this is all Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, that all this this story and this hakpada is Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. If you send a thigh of an animal complete to a friend, you don't have to take out the giranasha. But if you take it out, chatuch, already sliced, you do need to remove the giranasha. If you send it to a guy, whether it's chatuch, whether it's shalim, doesn't make a difference, you do not have to remove the giranasha. But there are two reasons that we have that we don't sell a nevela or trefa to an ovid kachavin. Two reasons. Number one, echad meshamateu. One is because it's fooling him. He thinks you're selling him something that you could have eaten that's kosher, and in fact is something that's absolutely worthless to you because it's a nevela trefa. The echad shemiyachsavim kren li yisrael acher. And the other concern is that we're afraid the guy is going to turn around and sell it to a Jew, and he'll say, "Look, it's kosher meat. I got it from a very reliable Jew, and someone's going to buy it from him." V'lo yomer adam lovid kachavim kachli b'din rezeh. And you also should not tell an ovid kochavim, so buy for me with this dinar meat for two reasons. Number one, echad nei hanasin. One is because the ovid kochavim is an anas and he's going to keep the dinar biyado, he's going to keep it in his hand and he's going to steal from the butcher. You're going to ask the guy, go buy me a piece of meat with this dinar. So he's going to pocket the dinar and he's going to steal the meat from the butcher. The echad shema markul anavels trefas. The other thing is, if you send the guy to the supermarket to do the shopping for you and he goes to the kosher butcher store, they're going to see, it's a guy. So they're going to give him the nevelis and the trefas, and that's going to be a terrible thing. They don't realize that it's just your housekeeper who's doing all of your shopping for you. So that's why you don't send the housekeeper to do the shopping. Amar man. Obviously, you know, it doesn't necessarily apply if you're dealing with packaged items that are double wrapped and that have hashkacha. You know, your housekeeper comes home with a box of Oreo cookies that's sealed that has an OU on it. You don't have to worry that the halacha is that that's okay. By a guy, we just said, whether it's shalem or whether it's chatuch, when you give it to a guy, you don't need to remove the giranasha. So ma'iskinan, what's the case exactly? Makom shemach reason. If we're talking about a case where they announce whenever there's a behemoth that's a treif or a nevela, chatucha my einot zarech litol min al giranasha. Why by a chatucha do you not need to remove the giranasha? Kiven dolo achrus, since we weren't machrus anything. Aslum is ben minay. It will come a Jew will come to buy it. He never heard a hachraza, so he's going to come to buy it. So how come you don't have to remove the giranasha when it's chatucha? El pshita b'makom shein hakrizin. So obviously that part of the brisa must have been talking in a place where they don't do hakrazas. Okay, good. And that's why chatucha you don't have to take out the giranasha, because the Jew anyway is not going to buy from the gut. Says the Gemara, but look at the next line of the brisa. Ema mitziyasa mipnei shnei dvar mamru ein mokhan nevels trefes l'vichavim. There are two reasons why we don't sell nevels and trefes to gayim. Echem neshem ateyu. One is because it's fooling him. Echem shem yachs b'mekarin l'yishal acher. And also because of a concern that he'll turn around and sell it to another Jew. V'ibamakom shein machrizin. But if it's in a place where we don't announce problematic animals, No Jew in his right mind is going to buy from him anyway, because he's going to always be choshish that it's a trade for a nevela. So the second case of the Mishnah must have been talking about a case where we are machriz. Then go to the third case of the Mishnah. You're not allowed to say to a guy, buy for me, send a guy to the supermarket, to the butcher shop for you to buy some meat, because of two reasons. And one of the reasons is that we're afraid the butcher is going to see him and he's going to sell him nevels and trefas. But if it's a place where they're machriz, whenever there's a problem, if it in fact was a trefa, you would have known that that butcher has a trefa, because he would have been machriz about it. So what are you worried about? That he's going to sell the guy nevels to trefas? You would know if the butcher has nevels to trefas to sell or not. So that line of the Brisa must have been talking about a case where we're talking about where they're not machriz, a place where they're not machriz. So does that make sense when you put it all together? The Reisha and the Seifa of the Brisa are talking about places where they're not machriz, and the middle case of the Brisa is talking about places where they are machriz. How does that make any sense? Gemara has three answers. Answer number one, Amar Abaye in Yeah, sometimes it works out like that. That the Reisha and the Sefer are talking about cases where they're not machriz, the Mitzias is talking about a case where they are machriz. Rava Amar, answer number two. Everything is talking about a place where they are machriz. Reisha v'sefer shechrizun. The Reisha of the Sefer work out great, like we explained. What are you going to do with the Mitziasa? Shelo hechrizu. We're talking about a case where they are machriz, and they just weren't machriz. And therefore, the guy is going to assume that the guy doesn't have any, that the butcher doesn't have any trefa meat to sell, and the guy is going to walk home with trefa meat, simply because they happen to have not been machriz, even though it's a makom that normally they are machriz. And answer number three, says the Gemara, Ravashi Amar Kula b'makom she'in machrizin. All of it is talking about a case where they are not machriz. Umitziyasa gzer shamim karena b'fnei Yisrael. And the Mitziyasa is talking about a case where it's a gzer, it's a makom she'in machrizin, but we're afraid what do we say in the Mitziyasa? That no Jew in his right mind would ever buy from that from a guy. Not if you saw the guy buying it from a Jew, then you might buy it from a guy. So that's the gezeira. We're afraid the Jew is going to see you selling it to the guy. He's going to assume it's kosher meat, and he's then going to turn around and buy it from the guy. So, frankly, okay, we keep on talking about hachraza. What did this hachraza look like? What kind of announcement was made? Say, hechi machrizinan. What kind of hachraza? Am Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef, nafal bisra lebnei chila. The hachraza was that we now have meat that's appropriate for the non-Jews. So v'leima nafal treifasal b'nechila. Why don't we say instead, more directly, that we have treifa meat? Why do we have to say now we have meat that's appropriate for non-Jews? Say what it is. It's treifa meat. Say we have treifa meat that's appropriate for the non-Jews. Says Gemara lo zavni, because then they're never going to buy it. If you say that this is like contaminated meat, you know they're not going to want to have it. Aiva kamati luhu, but then isn't it kenevis das? That we're selling them meat that's really contaminated meat, it's really trefa meat, and they think it's kosher meat. So answers Gemara, no. Inhu de kamatu nafshayu. Second very important exception to Gnevas Das. It's not Gnevas Das if they are being gonev their own das. They're fooling themselves. Why do they think you're selling them the meat? What do they think you meant when you said this is meat that's dafka for a guy? They should have realized that it's obviously trefa meat. And therefore, it's Knevis Das. It's not Knevis Das. They're being Gonev, their own Das. Ki Hadim Marzutra Breid Rav Nachman of causing the Sichra to Bemachuza, just like the story where Marzutra Breid Rav Nachman was going from Sichra to Bemachuza, for Rav Rav Safra of Kaasi the Sichra, and Rav and Rav Safra were going to Sichra, Pagu Adadi, and they happened to have run into each other. Each one was going in the opposite direction, so they happened to have run into each other. So who Savar La Ape Hudakasu? So he thought they were coming to greet him because he ran into him on the road. And he said, you shouldn't have. Why did you have to bother yourself so much to come and greet me? Very nice of you, but really you shouldn't have. And they weren't really coming to greet him. So Rav Safra said to him, no, we had no idea you were coming. But you should know, had we known that you were coming, we would have been matriach ourselves even more and we would have come. But he set him straight. He said, "Look, we're not we weren't coming to greet you, and we had no idea that you were that you were coming in the first place." Samalei Rava, my time armatayachi dach lishte ludaite. What did you have to upset him for and tell him that you weren't coming? Why did you have to say anything? Just let him think that you were coming, especially since it's true that you would have come anyway for him. Samalei vakamatinunle. So he says, "Well, gnevis das. That's why I had to tell him. I didn't want to do gnevis das. So I had to tell him the truth that we weren't coming just for him." Answers the Gemara, "No. So he said, "No, you shouldn't have told him, because it's not Gnevis Das. He was being Gonev his own Das. He should have realized that he wouldn't schlep out all this way. He should realize that it's very possible that you were just traveling along the road." So this is a very important exception to the issue of Gnevis Das. I saw an unbelievable story in the Sefer MS Kaneh, story of a couple in Eretz Yisrael that had a baby boy around Purim time, and due to the proximity to Purim, they named the baby Mordechai. A few weeks later, they receive a generous check in the mail, accompanied by a note from like a third cousin twice removed in America, thanking them, "Thank you so much. You named the baby after our father, Mordechai. We appreciate the naming so much. Here's a $10,000 check." So they want to know, are they allowed to keep the check in this situation? They did not name the baby after that person's father. They named the baby Mordechai because it was around Purim time. They didn't even think, they didn't even know they had a relative by this name. They named the baby Mordechai because of Purim time. So is that a violation of Gnevis Das to keep the check? So it's possible that it would not be Gnevis Das in that case, because the relative should have reasonably assumed that it was around Purim time, and that's why they named the baby Mordechai. The relative may have been Gonev their own Das. They're Gonev their own Das in making this assumption. I once told this over to another Rav, and he said, "You should never say over that story, because we should always preach super honesty, and that's really dishonest." Okay, so maybe you should they should have called them and told them, "Look, you know, we were so honored to give a name that happened to have been a cousin's name, but that wasn't really our intention. You can have the check back." Maybe they should have said something, I don't know, but at least Me'ikra Adin, it doesn't seem that it was a violation of halacha. So that's Kulun Daf Sadi Dalid, the sugya of Gnevis Das.